Okay, this is the first podcast of the new year, if I'm correct. Might be the second one. No, I think it is the first one, and I'm Vince Hollywood. Kelvin, we're here. We're going to address all aspects of your life with a center core focus of being true Renaissance men and master all aspects of our lives to better thrive with love, sex, and romance. Why that concept in that order? Think about it. If a man really wants to do well in love, sex, and romance, but really doesn't have a grasp on other aspects of his life, sooner or later it comes short. On the other hand, if a man is lacking at the level of love, sex, and romance, we're wired for reproduction. Before we know it, it's going to get very weird, very bizarre, and many great men have experienced tremendous downfalls because they could not handle and eventually master the aspect of dealing with women. So we're going to take questions in just a moment. It was a very interesting day for me. I lost a tooth. I quickly went to the dentist. They could not understand how I was not in pain. But thank God I was not in pain. I got to go back tomorrow morning to take care of it. But that's a great example. You know, it doesn't matter how much we resolve, we decide. Life is life. And now it's an interesting dynamic, which, by the way, makes for great openers. For a brief moment in time, the whole world begins to connect with a little bit of a more loving side. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a lot of people who normally don't say hello, we take the time to say hello because it was the holiday. And then there is a brief moment to kind of recharge, do something, see people you haven't seen. And after that, there's a celebration of the new year. And at this point, the idea of a resolution is pretty much a joke, pretty much for everybody in the world. Nevertheless, you see a lot of ads for gyms. Join the gym now, and the difference will come from what we do on a daily basis. I think it would not be a far guess to assume that everybody right now is experiencing a touch of chaos. You know, there's a small window of opportunity to really start the year differently, but that fades fairly rapidly, and oftentimes, personally, I always found it interesting because we have that period of holidays, and they're beautiful, but they kind of create a delay as we begin the beginning of the year. So tonight, I wanted to take an opportunity for us to kind of reconnect for members and so on. So you help me lead the call by bringing questions or by interacting with me who would like to voice something to start with.
Yeah, Vince, this is Akash. I've got a question. When we're navigating new areas of our game that we've been unfamiliar with, what is the best way to go about to do this? In other words, when we're not familiar or with a new area of game or getting new responses that we've never gotten before, how are we to act?
It's important to be familiar with them very fast, okay? So I would recommend, very good question. Thank you, Akash, for stepping up. Basically, that's what game is about. Akash is saying when we're navigating a new area of game, we're encountering situations that we haven't encountered before. And I think that's the true art, if you really think about it. It's to strengthen our ability to deal with the unexpected. It's to strengthen our ability to deal with what's unexpected. Okay? So here's the most basic thing you could do, which would be ideal for somebody that's starting, and yet we'll do it better when we have been doing it for some time. You're in a situation that you did not encounter before. Ease and stay spacious, stay open, and stay receptive. That's your best bet right there. I'll give you an example. Let's say the guy is in his first opportunity to have a threesome. And it's kind of happening, but it's not sure. What will be counterproductive is to bring in some tension based on apprehension. So how do you make sure you stay at a place of ease? It's always the same thing. Anticipate. Anticipate that something somewhere, somehow is going to happen that you didn't expect. And this way, you better prepare to handle it. Two time, you got to master being prepared to handle what you didn't expect. And you can strengthen that. It's something that you can become very proficient at. Then know that you're going to get a little concerned because it's going to be appealing and you will want it for it to go well. But at the same time, it's going to be a little unsure. So it's going to make you a little tense. The tension is counterproductive for attraction because they're already probably pretty tense. So remind yourself to ease, keep it spacious, be welcoming, trust it. And in those new situations, sometimes a little less is more. Now, the key point is this, and I finish with that before we take the next question, is to watch to make sure you don't become dependent, because usually the beginning of the end is when something starts to happen and we realize that it could happen, and now we're no longer in control. It controls us because we want to make sure it will happen. And if you ever were in situations where you are puzzled because it felt like it was going well and then nothing happened. Can you guys recognize that as often being the case? I've heard plenty examples of that. The guy's in a nightclub, he's kissing the girl, he's certain that something else is going to happen and suddenly nothing happens. All the way to sleeping with the girl, it's a beautiful night of lovemaking, and you're certain that there's going to be more, and then the girl goes silent. What causes that is that suddenly we no longer own it. It owns us because we now realize that more could happen, and we get attached to more. So to come back to disengage, trust it. For that, be certain that you're not attached to any specific situation. You got to go back to thinking big picture. Hey, the men that most struggle with game, with love, with sex, with romance, okay, guys that are lonely and end up being addicted to porn, it's because they want instant gratification. And there, that's not seduction. To me, seduction starts with you owning that. To me, seduction begins when you go, it'd be wonderful if it happens, but it doesn't have to happen. That's the day you rekindle with your own true core power as a man. Before that, you're just the bitch of sexual impulses. And that's a journey, and many don't want the journey. Many want the results right here and right now. So it's a unique polarity. It's a paradox, okay? To have more right here and right now, we need to let go of wanting more right here and right now. That's why it's a paradox. Great. I see a couple more callers. So my goal tonight is to make it very interactive. It's a chance to catch up. It's your chance to ask questions, to give the call a certain direction. Thank you, Akash. And I'm ready for the next one of you to speak up. And I've learned through time to be very patient when giving an opportunity for listeners to voice themselves. What else did you guys want to hear about? What's been going on with you?
Hey, Vince, I have a question.
Yes.
All right, this is Jason. So I have a question.
Yes, Jason.
When you're out with, let's say, a friend, and you could tell you had a bar, and the waitress seemed to be like super into him, but still interacting with you at the same time. How do you maneuver that or get the most out of that with the best
client? First, my experience has taught me, very good question. So you're at a bar, Jason is asking, the waitress is there, and you're with a friend, and she seems to really interact with the friend. My experience has shown me that we become more powerful in pickup, seduction, and dealing overall at a social level when we don't assume. I give you a clue. How often, for example, you have an internal experience, and when I say you, is that's for everyone who's listening, including me. We have an internal experience, and nobody could tell on the outside because we show something else to the world. So I have learned to not be fooled by the surface, because sometimes it could be that the person really has a little something going on with you, but they're not comfortable with it, so they talk more to the person that they don't have something with. I'm not sure if I'm following you, Vince. How often are you interacting with a group of women, and there is one that you like more, but somehow you talk less to that one, and you talk more freely with her friend? I'm not saying it was the case in that situation, but I know that if I personally refrain myself, I don't listen to what my mind is telling me. Oh, she's into him, this or that. I respond with one sentence. I don't know. How do you know? I'm not sure. Let's find out. Okay? So, step one. This is a very linear example. One, if you want to thrive in general with people, don't listen to your own first assumption. It's usually a little ego-driven. Ask yourself, what else could that mean? And tell yourself, I don't know. Which, notice, it's more spacious. It's less reactive. So from I don't know, then the next step is find out. How do you find out? I'm going to mute a person, and I can unmute if I don't know if it was you, Jason, but we heard a little voice. So I don't think it was you. So then find out. How do you find out? You tease playfully. You go, oh, my God, are you two getting married tonight? This is also now the infusion of powerful language patterns. Because whenever two appear to be getting together, okay, then by calling it, oftentimes the woman will be, oh, no, I'm just friendly. When the other man hears that, he's not going to like hearing that. So that will send him on a downward spiral. You don't have to push it that far. I don't want to personally send anybody on the downward spiral unless it's to save my ass or my own life or they're a threat to somebody else. Okay? So I think 2020, we still can do things like this, but it's not our prime ammunition. It's good to know about them, though, because we never know what situation we may be in. Okay? So, or the intention of other people. We should still have good ammunition because some people may not have very healthy intention. Then, if let's say there was something between the two, you make them blush, and now you become a new source of gravitation for the woman because who else would be so free? Okay? And now you could milk that a little bit, which now, again, puts you back into being the center of the conversation. Now, that's to answer the specific question. I'm happy to interact more with you, Jason, I don't think you're the 858 number, but I mute the 858 in case it was you. Okay? You could always unmute yourself by pressing star 6. Now, here is something else, everybody. This is big. Please hear it. This is really big. All of us men, subconsciously, we are still bound by one thing. All of us men, subconsciously, we are still bound by one thing that we are unaware of. Almost like a girl who grew up around the idea that she should get married and have kids. Us men, subconsciously, we tend to frame any and every little opportunity the same. So we need to revisit that to correct it. Us guys, if we feel that there could be an opportunity with a woman, and oftentimes it doesn't take much, just a smile, a look, her looks, not even her looking at us, her look, or her being slightly more open. You know, let's say you come across 20, 30 people, and most of them, they're minding their own business, they don't really pay attention, and suddenly there's a girl that's a little more upbeat, and she looks at us, she talks to us, she makes a comment, or we make a comment and she responds more. Watch out, because in that moment, subconscious functions kick in. If for whatever reason at that moment we're a little more horny, we're going to think, oh, maybe I could sleep with her. Or if we're a little more, you know, connected, then we may think, oh, that may be a girlfriend. And that's okay, but here's the problem. You see guys that do better with their pickup, but they frame every single possible interaction as the same. They think that every interaction should lead to that. A superior model of pickup and seduction is you have different categories. So whomever you interact with will play a variety of roles. Now, that person at the bar right there, whether or not she has something with your friend. An interesting question also would be, was your friend drinking, and do you think he's a little more acquainted with sitting at a bar? Because one thing that I realized that used to puzzle me, okay, is that different people develop different habits. And those who have had the experience quite often of the dynamic of a bar, you sit, you order, there's other people, you interact. If it's a sports bar, there's something on TV. If it's like a bar at night, there's a certain dynamic. It goes fast, you know, you have the bar back, you have a lot of people, nightclub. But those who have had prior experience, they automatically gonna connect a little bit more, unless they're drunk and annoying or bizarre, with the bartenders, okay? And like attracts like, because I've had times when I go, my game is fucking killer. I'm absolutely hilarious. I'm clever. This guy there or those people or those girls are really not doing much. They're not paying attention. And so why is it that they get that bar dynamic that I'm not getting right now? Oh, no, no big deal. You know, it's just like if you're a member of Toastmaster and suddenly you arrive at a Toastmaster, you're going to feel more at ease and flow with people a touch more than the person who's never been in that experience. Okay? So, but right there, you could, one role that a woman could play when you're doing pickup, you could pick up clues from her. So she could be a little bit of a silent teacher. Watch, because teacher, I don't mean that she's got, you're going to learn from her what to do. She's going to tell you, oh, be a little more friendly. Oh, I think you're too direct. That's bullshit, usually. When women give that advice, they give it based on prior relationships. Okay? So it's not solid. It's dysfunctional. But you could notice the dynamic. So one thing you do sometimes in your pickup practice, if it's not like, wow, this interaction is going, man, I'm pulling. I promise you I'm pulling, brother. Then you just relax and you go, okay, I'm receiving right now. Just calm down. Don't let your ego tell you, but he's in an interaction. I'm not. I'm learning social dynamics, these clues of what to do, what not to do. Okay? Sometimes you could also have an ally. So your buddy is getting acquainted with that waitress, you pitch in. Be careful. Side note, that's big, you guys. I mentioned that before. We are all conditioned to be proper. Even when we're a little outside of the context, meaning I shared that during EC20, and I won't open too many doors. But even if you're a little bit outside of the context, let's say you dress a little crazy and you act a little wilder, there are deeply rooted social rule and code that subconsciously we don't know, but we follow. Okay? So be mindful of that, because you could be there. Your buddy's talking with the bartender and not realize that subconsciously you went back to being a polite listener. When maybe your buddy could say something funny and you go, he makes me laugh. Okay, and now you again in the dynamic. Go, wait, you guys. So you saying this, she's saying that. Now, I'm totally confused. Tell me more. And one of the most indirect way to really include ourselves in a conversation is to detect a little peak when the person lacks what they talk about and they lack to talk about it. And further inquire. And it could be super simple. It could be a very short sentence like, okay. Say it again. I want to get it this time. Now, it appears that you're the listener. It appears that you're the follower when, in a way, you now are the leader. Okay? It's like if right now I go, okay, we have time for one more question. Whomever is going to ask a question and whatever that fucking question is going to be, you could take the call anywhere you want. Always remember that. Certain women, they're there, so you are busy for the time being. Because if too long goes without you interacting with the world, then of course you're more likely for your mind to start to go and mess with you and tell you, you're not talking, you should be talking, how come you're not talking, blah, 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 blah. You understand? So stay mindful and aware of those dynamics and allocate different positions to different women. They're not all potential candidates, okay? So be certain that you remind yourself, not everybody's a potential candidate. Some are just extras. Some have a different purpose. Some will help me buy time. Some will help me relocate, okay? For example, if you talk a little bit with someone, you can tell there's no attraction right there. It doesn't fucking matter. Then you go, that one, she's downgraded. She's no longer a potential pickup and seduction candidate, but now she's a female and she's a human. And if I interact in any way, if I just laugh a little bit, and oftentimes when we drop the agenda of pickup and we're not just acting like the desperate friend, but we drop all agenda, then they ease a little more. Suddenly, let's say she relocates, and you see her, and she's standing next to a table, okay? And you, my friend from before. There you are. How's your night going? How come you don't have a man next to you at this point? You're into girls. Okay. You understand? So I've opened quite a few doors. Watch.
Got it.
It's very intricate also, because all of us, if we start with an observation that leads to a question, we're probably going to be thinking about the dynamic and the question so much that we may hear but not register the solution. One thing that's helped me a lot at some point, there are people who fantasize that one day the perfect teacher will appear. And usually it's almost like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a side note, but I don't know if you ever had that realization. If you read Maslow, the writer and psychologist or whatever he was, his hierarchy of needs, you observe it, you go, he's fucking describing himself. We all have that tendency. So that was a side note, maybe some registered, maybe not. But we tend to subconsciously hope that a teacher will appear that will kind of be us but a better version of us, that kind of think like us, act like what we like, and so on. And if you ever came in the presence of somebody that's very much like you, most likely it very rapidly leads to a dynamic of competing. No, that's not interesting. I don't know if you guys ever saw that picture of this girl whose hair was kind of like mine, dress very similar to mine, tattoos similar to mine in San Francisco. And I remember within minutes, it went like on my side, at least. I was like, no, that's me. She shouldn't be like that. I don't want that. Yeah. So there's that aspect of the fantasy. It could also lead towards like, okay, and now what is there? Or it could lead like, oh, we think alike. Let us walk down the wrong road together. And then we fantasize that it will be brought to us in a way where it's like, one, two, three, you got all the pieces right there. And it's never going to be like this. I went to college myself. In college, that's the time in my life when I experienced the most unstructured, structured education. It was insane to try to find my way in it with the massive bombard of one more book, one more class, one more test, one more this, working basically round the clock and still not finding the time to study it all, to cover it all, contradiction in the curriculum and so on. And this was really structured, you know. You got the dean and so on. So I found more order in self-education than structured education. So my point in this, it's a fantasy that shouldn't be, because it's never going to be the case. Right now it's going to consist of, you get some pieces, you get other pieces, it's kind of all over the place and so on. So it didn't matter who it was, what it was. I remember at some point I took the wealth mastery stock investment training with the best of the best of the best in the world. And Warren Buffett was there. I have a side note about Warren Buffett, by the way. That's very interesting. Warren Buffett was there. And again, no one really came to me and said, learn this, then do that. It was, again, I felt like I was on my own. So through time, I realized it doesn't matter what the setting is. I'm studying business. I'm studying this. I'm in college. I'm studying renegade stuff. It's not really ever, okay, here you are. First, you're going to do this. Then you're going to do that. And then after you do that. So that's when I decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to decide on one tool at a time. And it doesn't matter at first if I do it perfectly and that's exactly the thing that I needed, or if it's not that relevant. But I'm going to grab one thing, and I'm going to give it a short period of time, because another thing will come in, to just play with that. So, for example, that's when I said, okay, my interactions can go wherever they want. And I can free flow, and I can do a little bit of this, and some ideas can come on the spot, or I can even be in an interaction and go, fuck, what do I do now? And I'm not really doing anything by the book. But make sure you get to give hugs. So that would be my one thing. And make as many distinctions about how people can give hugs, responses to hugs, what can you do with a hug, how can you escalate with a hug. So I would not let an interaction go by without a hug. Okay? And now, let's say the guy may not feel like he has much, because it's not easy to learn that stuff. And it's not easy to learn anything. It's not easy to make headways about anything. If right now somebody takes a class, how to be a superstar online, okay? So many people are going to take the fucking class. Everybody is going to feel like, oh my God, this is going to help me. But how many are going to turn around and they're really going to do something amazing with it, okay? So there, at least, let's say suddenly we got the guy, he comes in, and first there's that girl, and he's hoping to get laid, and he wants it right now, and he has a lot of baggage and misconception, and he both wants it, but he doesn't want it at the same time, and he was hoping that it would be just like, we would say, okay, Wali Kramachtuka Baba, that's it, oh my God, that's it, thank you, hey, I did the Wali Wale Ramachakana, and I got a blow job last night, tonight I'm using it to get a threesome, yay, no, okay, so some get a little disenchanted. Some they just wanted the fast thing, and they're gonna go back to not doing much until they revisit. But if we take one guy and he's not too worried about that, and now he takes one tool at a time. Okay, so for example, he goes, I'm going out, and I'm going to notice how quickly my mind decides, oh, that girl is probably with somebody. Oh, that girl, I already talked to her. Oh, that one, she's not really my type. Well, that one, she's not smiling. And this and this and that. And now he says, whenever that happens, I'm going to go, we don't know. I'm going to stay open, not going to decide. And then I'm going to discover. I'm going to go, oh, I've seen your friend. Oh, no, those are not my friends. Okay? I would talk to you, but I could tell that you probably don't really want to talk to me. Little things like that. So that's the principle of one tool at a time, so you accumulate. And in the end, it's the sum total of all those little distinctions until I said that a million times. There's a reason for it. It reaches critical mass. And when it reaches critical mass, then it's a beautiful experience. And you reach critical mass several times. I know Akash has already reached critical mass. Akash has already probably reached a place where the way he dresses, the way he carries himself, the way he shows up, and the way he interacts with the world, then boom, they're on him. And then you experience another level of critical mass. Good. So thank you, Jason. Wonderful question. You brought a lot to the call by asking. Simple things also. One thing that really comes up that I see myself, okay? I put myself in the shoes of guys, and so often, if you buy into the mannerism of women, the more beautiful they are, the more you could so be fooled by their mannerism. So if you take one great gift from tonight's call, remind yourself, all that you may see them do, running to the girlfriend, oh my God, being on the phone with a little bit of an attitude, looking very blasé, rolling their eyes. Those are basic examples. But anything that a woman could do, okay, suddenly she's a woman, she puts on the outfit, she puts on the makeup, she does the hair, most likely unless she's an escort, or she's like a little adventurer, most likely. She's got a little posse with her. There's a couple other girls. Oftentimes, they love the dynamic where they it's a couple pretty ones with a few that are not so pretty, so they can feel pretty within the group, and they can quickly become a little bossy with the rest of the group, okay? And they all find their own place and their own rules and so on. But all those are desperate social attempts from people who have not yet found it within themselves to appreciate and trust themselves. So they're using little ammunition. It would be very different if suddenly you go, who is this? Oh my God, you don't know her. She's got like, and it would not be just an Instagram star. It would be like a girl that's a star on Instagram because she's also a top known dancer and so on. But anything below that is just a girl trying. And if you can open your heart, not be fooled by the face, by the mannerism, even by the fucking talk, and you witness that from the following place, you go, wow, here's a human trying so hard. Look at that. Look at the distance she will go. She will even walk on sticks. There used to be, when I was originally a member of the National Speaker Association, a big thread was workshops. They would charge a lot to in the corporate world, where they would take CEOs and top manager, and they would have them go through a day or a week of working dressed as women, so they would better understand the dynamic on how to manage women. It was a little weird, but it was a big success, and people would go for it and pay the big money. So, and their number one realization was like, it's amazing their willingness to go through the process of getting dressed and what it's like to wear those clothes. Not in like a cross-dressing bizarre way, but in a way where like, fuck, it's like I'm going to try to go back to my flat shoes and my suit. That's a lot fucking easier to carry that around. Okay, so The message for you guys is, it's fast. You're preoccupied by other things. You're thinking game. You're thinking, should I go direct or this or that? Indirect. You got all those false preoccupations. There they are. And now you're being sucked into false nets. And you try to work with that. And it's hard because in that little frame, they have a little bit of an edge. We have found ways around that edge by becoming even more potent at that level. But that's one angle that may or may not overrule. You would have to have a serious entourage, a serious motherfucking well thought together look, and some really hardcore game to impact that in a way that 2 days after that she's still texting you and she's the one waiting for your text. Okay? And we've gone there. We've studied how can you so be the king of the party or the king of any environment that eventually you have that impact on women. But along with that, and it's not an either or, I have personally found also that with all the therapy that I have done, because as a coach, you know, I'm dealing with the mind, I'm dealing with the mental, emotional aspect. It's not just, hey, okay, here's how you escalate, or here's like a three-fingering technique. Just like, why is the guy not getting it? Okay, so we have found that if you buy into it from the get-go, it's over. But if you stay solid into not buying into it, and you witness the distress, and you don't judge, and now you step in from that place, okay, it's disarming. It's in influence. You won one of the greatest secrets of influence. Years ago, a quote really grabbed my attention. Never wrestle in the mud with a pig because, one, the pig will win. Two, on top of that, the pig likes it. So what does that mean? It's not about pigs or mud. It's don't wrestle with people who have an advantage and something they like. Unless you have that advantage and you like it more than them, then you're going to win, okay? If a guy's ammunition is, well, I could bully anybody and I talk shit and I fucking talk loud and I'm in your face and I gather a couple of guys that admire me that are the same, and then, well, we rule the fucking thing. Anybody has trouble with us in this bar? Ha! Good luck, okay? So, for me, once I understood that principle of influence, if, for example, you're with somebody that's very talkative and you get a little mysterious, they would overrule being talkative. But the silence that you're producing and almost like the poker face that you're providing would soon get them to go, is he okay? Okay? And then they could say, did I do something wrong? So notice, now you're influencing a talker with silence. So this is great news for everybody. And with women, influence them from the heart. Brave heart. Okay? And from the heart, you have done a little more work than them, and you're not fooled by their distress. You know it's distress. You're not fooled by their attempt to correct their distress. And from there, you gain. Sorry, I had alarm come on. From there, you will game like a madman. And if you look back at my game throughout the year, a lot of it is rooted in that. That's when I go, like, interesting arrival. You appear to be slightly more at ease than most, but who am I to say? Anyway, things like that fascinate me. Foul, not found. It's also the kind of game where you are to select from the get-go. So many are under the impression that with game, the qualification process will happen a little bit down the road, right? That's sequential game. I think there's an element of game that's sequential at the level of what is a little more emphasized later, but it's a gradual process. It's present at the beginning. And personally, my game from the get-go is qualify, disqualify. If I had an opener based on the meta message, it would be stop. Do you qualify or you don't qualify? If the girl would go, what do you mean by qualify? That's an interesting word. Ah, good. You're starting to do okay. If she goes, what a stupid question. Okay, sorry. Next. but you're not really going to say that. That's your attitude. Whatever you say, have that as the pillar underneath it. I'm looking at the time. We probably can take one final burning question, or we could keep it at this. Heads up, I think most of you...
I've got one burning question.
Yeah, cool.
So I was reading through your Instagram earlier today, and you had a quote that said, "Fools celebrate and rest too soon. Real warriors never put the sword down." Can you talk a little bit more about this concept?
Yeah. So, great. Thank you. I don't know if I'm the number one example on Instagram. I do it to some degree. I once in a while had people help me, but I appreciate that you are looking through it. So, for every quote, you know, there is also an exception. So quotes, the problem with quotes, the challenge with quotes is that they have to be put in context. So we need to know the context, okay? Just heads up. That's why people debate quotes. That's why sometimes you have everybody likes a quote, but somebody goes like, I don't get it, because you're processing it from a different context. So would you, Akash, please reread that quote? And I think you just muted yourself maybe, so... Would you reread the quote?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear it.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
So you had said, "Fools celebrate and rest too soon. Real warriors never put the sword down."
Yeah. So this. Thank you for bringing that up. And I love your approach. I know you're not asking. You probably have a lot of comprehension around it. And you're bringing elements to play. In a way, you're almost like the TA here, where you go, hey, maybe you can talk a little bit about that. So, just so you know, and I love the fact that you are asking questions right now, and you're at a place where many could already go, hey, I've paid a lot of my dues, you know, by now I know this stuff. But that would be very detrimental. All workers of change, they constantly add it. I had a little phase where I grew so strong that I was giving more, but I was lacking intake of information, of frames, of new angles. And for the first time, I understood why sometimes people tell me, but aren't you drained sometimes when you coach all those people? And I thought, no, it's the opposite. I'm energized from it. It's not the coaching that energizes. It's the dynamic around it. So props to you from intaking, okay? Ultimately, remember, it's how much we intake that will determine the value of what we give out. And it should always be greater, because if a person has $1 million and they give $1 million, how much do they have now? They got nothing. If a person constantly bringing more, they go from $1 to $2 million to $3 million. Now they can give more. And the well must keep that dynamic, okay? It's a powerful natural law. So most people want the quick fix. Most people want it in one shot. Most people don't realize that life is a never-ending dynamic. Doesn't matter how far we have gone, nothing is ever static. Industries will change. Dynamic will change around us. So we got to watch out. Also, especially in this day and age, because now everybody's got a little chance. The time in history where more people have a chance than ever before. Okay? Knowledge is no longer the luxury of an elite. And... Nevertheless, now the aspect of elite is still there, because the knowledge will go back in the hands of those who treat it a special way. Just as it's often been said, if we right now spread it all the world wealth equally to everybody, before we know it, it would go back to the same places, unfortunately. So it's not the wealth that's the core issue. It's the relationship with it. So we ground it a little bit, narrow it down, because I'm opening a lot of frames. Be certain that you know that it's what you do after what you did, after what you did, after what you did. Repeat it again and again, and you heard that from me before, that really will pay off. Otherwise, it's a It's a little victory, okay? Now, don't assume victory also, because it will elude us too fast, and it's an attachment. There's a video that's hilarious. I don't know if you guys seen it, of people who lost the race because they imagine assume victory too soon. And there's one guy who's about to cross the finish line with a bike, and he raises his arm up in the air, he slows down, and he didn't see to his side somebody who finishes right before them. And that whole video, I don't know if you've seen it. So don't put the sword down also, because you don't know what the moves of every possible dynamic around and within us are going to be. We don't know what the move, okay? I didn't know this morning. It happened before. I went to the dentist today, but I didn't know I would lose a tooth. We just don't know what next move is into play. It's like playing chess. The best players, you keep your eyes on it, okay? Now, it's also important that there's another opposite quote from warriors also, that is, know when to put the sword down. If we reach places of a little bit of a burnout, it's intelligent to know that, that's the exception. But it's two different swords. One would be the obsession of, I can't stop. You can stop. It's okay for a second because you need to right now. You show signs of somebody who needs to recharge. Put the sword down for a second. But as you do that, don't put other swords down. Still be ready to play. I hope that was helpful. I know it. We're constantly making headways. We are realizing that now the new decade of the pickup community is going to be about, it's a major of life. And just like a champion must have a trainer. No champion doesn't have a trainer. A team must have a coach. Every celebrity, they have so many people around us. Every powerful CEO, they have people around them. Not so I can reach that place where everything is in place, because I keep everything in place and I reach higher and greater and newer places. Okay? Heads up, we're about to do, after everybody did it, you know, I didn't do like, here's the New Year package, but I got two recommendations. One of them is, if you didn't get the EC20 recordings now, you absolutely must. They are ready to go, so keep an eye open on my social media. We're going to give a last opportunity to get the recordings, which for you is like, okay, now I get to watch it in one shot and as I please. The other thing is that I know exactly what's going to happen right now to all of us. Exactly what's going to happen. Okay? In a way, the polarities are too funny, because suddenly at the end of the year, the world puts a little more on our plate and a little less at the same time, and we enter the year when we should be ahead and we're already a little bit behind, because now we're going back to work and people are back with their rhythm. Back means there was a gap. That gap caused a delay. Suddenly we catch up with the things we didn't get to do during that time. Okay? So it's crazy. So what is that telling us? What that's telling us is that everybody right now, we are already wrestling and struggling with time. So time is going to be an issue. It's going to cause delays. Delays that distress us. And we will not have more time. So the mastery of time through time is essential. Paying attention to it, having distinction. Not one thing, you have it or you don't, you start to pay attention to it. Then, if there's delays, the next thing that's going to hit us, okay, is the money matters. And money matters, I'm certainly not a money expert. I'm not the guy that you come to like know where to invest a stock and so on, okay? But I'm a relationship expert. And there's some ways to relate with money that can be extremely detrimental. Think about all the times in your life, since you're alive, that you worried a little bit about money and what it did to you and your emotions and your morale. And maybe you were invited at a great party and you showed up and you were not your most playful, fun self. Maybe you even were making love, and it really affects lovemaking. So we can't be preoccupied with money. We need to have a dynamic in which we not only learn how to manage it, learn how to make more of it, but also to no longer succumb to the worries around that. And ultimately, whether it's time or money, they're going to link to a third thing, the mind. And we've learned in so many ways, and even recently, different new angles, that in a way, the mind is the enemy. And it wouldn't be healthy to think that, so I take it right back. But our minds are fucking with us. Our minds are out of control. So we need to have ways to redirect that. We need to have ways to deal with that. So we got a little package called 2020 Master Your Time, Master Your Money, and Master Your Mind. And to me, that's a little kind of gift to make sure that you don't succumb to those three. It's very thorough. All of them are home study courses. It's over 25 hours of resources written and so on. And we are going to make that available to the world during the next couple of days. Thank you guys for joining. And we're on every single Monday. Make sure you also subscribe to the podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. Good night, everyone.